As we come to look at this passage, let's pray and ask for God's help. Father, Jesus, you breathed your Holy Spirit on the first disciples. I pray that you would breathe your Spirit on us now, that I may speak your words faithfully and truly, and that you'd open our hearts to hear what you have to say. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, I wonder if you're tricked easily by April Fools. It was April Fool's Day only a couple of weeks ago on Thursday before Easter. And there were a few interesting April Fools that came out. So firstly, apparently something came out suggesting that Wimbledon had decided to paint every blade of grass purple because of their link with Ribena for their tournament this year. Obviously a ridiculous idea, but quite a fun one. Or it was announced on ITV that they were going to produce a new programme based on Love Island, but it was going to be called Dove Island and would be about helping birds find that special one that they can love. And then, of course, Ant and Dec, the famous presenting duo, announced that they were going to rebrand themselves and be called Dec and Ant from now on. Well, all good April Fools are sort of vaguely believable stories, but also faintly ridiculous. Something that a lot of people could fall for, but feel pretty foolish about afterwards. I wonder if you're easily tricked by April Fools. Of course, when it comes to the message of Christianity, in a sense, it is incredibly foolish. How could anyone believe in something like the resurrection? People just don't come back from the dead. Surely you are a fool to believe in it. Well, that's what a lot of people would say. I wouldn't agree, and I'll explain why. You expect me not to agree. But Thomas, one of the close followers of Jesus, would have agreed, at least before he met the risen Jesus himself. Thomas was someone who, in many ways, was hopeless. We don't know much about Thomas. We know from the other Gospels, well, the only thing they tell us about him is that he was one of the 12 disciples. We know from John's Gospel that he was hopeless, not in a sense of he was useless, but he was someone that had no hope, someone who was quite pessimistic about the future. When Jesus announced that he was going to go to visit Lazarus's grave just after Lazarus had died, Thomas, aware of the problems in Judea and the fact that people were out to get Jesus in Judea, said, "Let us also go that we may die with him." Quite a pessimistic outlook when Jesus already hinted that what was going to happen was he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. Or when Jesus tried to comfort the disciples on the night before Jesus himself was about to go to the cross, he told them that there were places in his Father's house and that he was going to make sure they had a place for them. And he said, "Look, you know the way to those places." And Thomas, not really getting what Jesus was going on about, says, "Lord, we don't know the way. How can we get there?" He says more exactly, "Lord, we wouldn't know where you're going. We don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way?" Typically, Thomas is negative about Jesus' promises of hope. And yet Jesus says to him, the problem with Thomas isn't that he's pessimistic. It's not that he thinks everything's going to go wrong. Actually, the problem is he hasn't really yet understood who Jesus is. Jesus' response is to say this: "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Thomas, if you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." The promise is Thomas doesn't really get Jesus. But Jesus says he will do. He's about to. Things are going to change. But of course, what happens next is that Jesus is arrested, he's tried, he's condemned, he's crucified, and he dies, and he's buried. Thomas seems to be proved right. The situation has proved hopeless. Jesus is dead and gone. This seems to be the end of the story. There is no way back. And yet something strange happens next. The other disciples come along and tell Thomas on the Sunday after Jesus is killed on the Friday, "We've seen Jesus alive. He's spoken to us. He's shown himself to us. He's risen from the dead." All 10 of the other disciples would have told him this. And yet, despite the masses of witness to him, Thomas says, "That's ridiculous." This is where he gets his famous title as Doubting Thomas. "How on earth do you expect me to believe that someone has come back from the dead? When you're dead, that is it. It's a sad truth. No one returns. It's one of the key facts of life. You're dead, nothing else happens. There's no hope. How can I believe that Jesus is alive again? Don't talk rubbish to me." And maybe you're like Thomas, maybe you're on his side at this point. The idea of the resurrection seems not just absurd, but fantastical, ridiculous. How can someone come back from the dead? When people are dead, they stay dead. This is completely unbelievable, you say. And before we move on, we have to accept that Thomas has got a point, hasn't he? Even now, with the incredible advances we have in medicine, if you were to take someone who had been crucified, hung on a cross, to die a painful death after already having been flogged to an inch of their life. If you took them down from the cross almost as soon as they breathed their last breath, modern medicine would really struggle to revive that person. But if they died on the cross, then had a spear stuck in their side, and then were laid out on a stone-cold slab for 36 hours, it would be utterly impossible for modern medicine to revive the person. Jesus was dead and buried. There was no hope in terms of modern medicine. Scientifically speaking, the resurrection is impossible. And before we move on, we need to accept that how amazing, how impossible it is that someone could come back to life. This is no ordinary event. This is incredible. And yet, to say something is scientifically impossible is to say that the laws of nature go against it. But God is the one who created nature. God is the one who set those laws in place. And if God set the laws in place, then God can change the laws to suit his needs. Scientifically speaking, it is impossible for anyone to come back from the dead. But with God, nothing is impossible. And God showed that through Jesus. So what happened next? Thomas refused to believe, but then a week later, we're told that Jesus himself did appear to Thomas. And he said to him, "Put your fingers in the nail holes. Put your fist in my side. Touch me and see that I'm not dead, but alive." Suddenly, doubting Thomas was faced with the reality of human life, of Jesus' life, with the risen Christ, with the resurrected one. How was he going to respond? When we read through John's Gospel and the resurrection account, it's interesting that only two people actually say something when they first respond, first see the risen Christ. Yes, we're told that the disciples, when they first saw Jesus, were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Of course they would have been. Jesus had told them that they would weep, but then their weeping would turn to joy. And no wonder, if someone's dead, that grief is the thing that will strike you down and make you feel horrendously sad and upset. But to see someone alive again, that whole grief is reversed and joy comes. But we're not told what the disciples said in response to this. And Mary is the other person who does say something in response to Jesus when she finally realizes that she's face to face with him. When Jesus says Mary, she realizes that it's him. He's alive. But Mary's been so overwhelmed by grief up until this point. And this is such a shock and such a surprise to her. It comes out of completely out of nowhere that the only response she can give is to call Jesus what she'd normally call Jesus, and just simply says Rabboni, or teacher. A completely underwhelming response considering what's just been shown her. And yet we can understand we'd probably do the same in her situation. Thomas, though, has had longer to think things through. Thomas may not have accepted what the other disciples had said to him, but he could have thought through the implications of what a resurrected Christ might mean. If Jesus was really alive, he might have thought to himself, then that's incredible. That's ridiculous. That must mean that something amazing has happened here. That must mean that Jesus is far beyond what I can understand. And what did Jesus say to me the night before he was killed? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to me, to the Father, except through me. If you really know me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. If Jesus is dead and buried, that's all complete and utter nonsense. But if Jesus has risen from the dead, then he is the way to God, the way to eternal life, the way to hope. He is the truth. What he says and what he is represents the truth about God. If you want to know what God is like, then look at him. Yeah, sure. If you want to know God, then look at the resurrected Jesus, if he is resurrected. And if he's resurrected, if he's defeated death, then surely he can bring life as well. If Jesus is really resurrected, then wow, he must be someone incredible. But Thomas couldn't believe that he was resurrected until he was face to face with the risen Christ. And then everything falls into place. Then Thomas really does know who Jesus is. Then Thomas realizes that in seeing Jesus, he is seeing God himself. And he cries out, my Lord and my God! This is the climax of the whole Gospel of John. As we've gone through, we've seen the signs and the miracles of Jesus. We're drawn to see that he's someone amazing. And then in his death, we're sort of wondering what on earth is going on. But then in the resurrection, this really shows that Jesus and all that he said, all that he's done, points to the fact that he is God come to be with us. The Word made flesh, full of grace and truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Now Thomas knows Jesus. Now Thomas knows what God is like. Now Thomas knows the way to eternal life. My Lord and my God. And Jesus says to him, Thomas, you believe because you see. But other people won't have that chance. Other people need to believe the witnesses. Thomas, you had 10 people tell you that they'd seen me alive and you still didn't believe them. But actually, people are going to have to believe the message. The message that you and the others will go and tell them. The message that will be written down in the Gospels for others to believe down the ages. And when people believe that message, Thomas, it will be a blessing to them. You see, you may be someone who doesn't easily fall for things. You may be someone who's not easily fooled, and there's lots of things that people suggest that we believe in. And some of those things are ridiculous. Some of them are to catch us out and make us look like fools. But a lot of them don't really matter. I mean, some people say that the moon landings were fake, that they were made up, they were filmed in a studio in America. It didn't really happen. Well, I think that's a ridiculous idea. There's plenty of evidence to suggest that the moon landings did actually happen. But if you believe that, well, it doesn't really matter, does it? It's not going to affect your life. It's not really going to affect anyone else. But some things do matter. If you believe that COVID-19 is just nothing worse than the flu, then actually, again, I'd think that's a wrong belief. But this time it's a more dangerous belief. If you believe that, you're much less likely to follow the government guidelines and regulations. If you believe that, you're less likely to want to have the vaccine. And the result will be, well, you'll be more likely to actually catch the virus yourself. You'll be more likely to be seriously ill, more likely to take up a bed in hospital, more likely possibly even to die. And you'd help to spread it to others. What you believe about COVID-19 matters. But do you see that what you believe about Jesus matters far more than that? Jesus says, blessed are those who believe even though they do not see. To believe in Jesus offers a hope of eternal life, offers true happiness, true blessing, true life. You may think that the resurrection is impossible because science, it goes against science. But will you believe the witnesses? When you believe what they say, and when you believe that God can do the impossible, because if you don't believe, you'll miss out. And look at what's promised here to those who do believe. First of all, forgiveness is promised. Jesus says to the disciples in verse 23, look, if you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. And what he's sort of saying here, look, is as you preach the good news about me, as you tell people about Jesus, then those that accept that good news, they will receive the forgiveness that you're promising them. But those that do not accept the good news, then tell them that they won't be forgiven. And this is good news because, look, I'm saying to you that if you believe about Jesus, you can have these blessings. And you may say to me, well, I've messed up in life. I've done lots of bad things. I've been a horrendous person. God won't want me. Rubbish. The message is that in Christ comes forgiveness. That's why Jesus died on the cross, that you can be forgiven no matter how bad you've been. Yes, of course, when you become a Christian, when you become part of the family, God wants you to stop behaving in that way and start living for him and change. But as soon as you believe, you are forgiven. And you can have that relationship with God. And the second thing he gives the disciples is the Holy Spirit. That's God's presence with us, God's presence in us that empowers us, encourages us, helps us through his life. Yes, being a Christian can be tough in earthly terms, but we have God with us in it. We have the Holy Spirit to guide us through it. And that's a gift not just for the 12, but for all of us as Christians. And most importantly, John says, look, I've told you all about Jesus. I've told you about the signs. I've told you about the resurrection. I've told you what Jesus taught. And I've said all this so that you can believe. And in believing, have eternal life. When you come to Christ, when you trust in Christ, you become part of his eternal family. And you'll live with God forevermore. Jesus has defeated death, not just for himself, but for you as well, if only you will believe. The resurrection is not easy to believe in because it's impossible. And yet the evidence is that it is true. And if it is true, then it's because it seems impossible, it shows that this is something incredible. Jesus truly is God with us. Will you, like Thomas, come to realize that Jesus is my Lord and my God? Will you believe in him? And will you discover the blessings of that belief? Because it really matters. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that Jesus did rise from the dead. Lord, as incredible, as impossible that seems, help us to see that it is amazing, that it is true, and help us to believe that we may know the blessings of faith in you, now and forevermore. Amen.